evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Ayen Deng Bior in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Friday, October 25th, 2019. The head of the World Food Program says a recent meeting with leaders of Sudan and South Sudan has brought about remarkable change, gaining access to parts of Sudan previously cut off from humanitarians.
We've seen people coming together, political enemies coming together that was just quite extraordinary from Sudan government as well as South Sudan government to allow us access in areas that have been denied for literally 8 years.
And parties aligned with President Kiir say a unity government should be formed next month.
It is the utmost concern of the people of South Sudan that peace prevails their country and that with no further extension of the pre-transitional period.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The executive director of the UN's World Food Program has just left Sudan. David Beasley helicoptered into South Kordofan to assess humanitarian needs, the first time that has happened in more than 8 years. Beasley says it all came about after he recently sat down with the leaders of Sudan and South Sudan and got their commitment to allow humanitarian workers unfettered access to the region, something he calls quite extraordinary.
What we've been able to see has been quite remarkable. We've seen people coming together, political enemies coming together that was just quite extraordinary from Sudan government as well as South Sudan government to allow us access in areas that have been denied for literally 8 years. And so two clear examples, just in the past few days, we shipped the first barge from what is called Kusti in Sudan down to South Sudan into another area called Rinke, which this barge has not been able to operate down this river for 8 years. And this saves us an extraordinary amount of money and allows us to access people that we've not been able to access. And the second area is what we call Kauda in the Nuba Mountain area. And this area has not been accessed for over 8 years. And amazing that the parties came together literally to allow us this access, which is just an extraordinary cooperation.
Now, this is in part due to the new government in Sudan, the Sovereign Council, of course, right?
Well, it is, and I know there was a lot of reservations and hesitancy by some of the leaders, for example, Abdulaziz in the Kauda area of the SPLN, and they expressed concern that, well, okay, maybe this is just more rhetoric and they don't mean it in terms of access. But I sat down with the Prime Minister of Sudan, Hamdok, as well as Burhan and Hamedi, whom you well know are very powerful leaders inside Sudan. And I sat down with each one of these leaders individually for several hours in discussing why this is important, why this is a signal to the world that it is a new dawn and a new day.
But how did you get beyond their mistrust of one another?
Well, I don't want to say it wasn't easy, but it was quite frankly a little bit surprising. It was like a new spirit of these leaders of truly wanting to showcase a reality that it is a new dawn, a new day. Because Hamdok had told me when I met with him at the UNGA in New York, and had extensive conversation that he wanted to prove that his desire to open up humanitarian access anywhere we wanted to go in Sudan was real. And I said, well, I'm going to put you to the test. I'm going to come to Sudan literally within a month or two. And so when we sat down and had the discussions, then, of course, you know, it's just not just one leader. Several leaders that are critical, from the military to the intelligence, as well as to the government in general from Sudan. And then, of course, getting the permission and the cooperation from Abdulaziz and the leaders from this particular region, the Nuba Mountains. And you know that conflict and how bad that's been.
Right.
And I had a long, extensive conversation with Abdulaziz as well as Salva Kiir, as well as Machar, explaining how critical this was. We must show cooperation for all the people. It's time. It's a new day. And I believe...
And they all agreed with you. In the end, they agreed with you.
They sure did, and quite frankly, there were I would say bureaucrats down below that fought it, but the leaders for, and I told them, I said, look, you have to understand, we will hold you accountable for the impediments down below you. I said, you've got to prove this by truly changing the system all the way down to the ground the grassroots level. And they did. They made it happen. They worked together. And now it's not the end of the story. We got a lot more work to do, but this is one extraordinary beginning of what appears to be a new day, a new dawn.
Now, I want to talk to you a little about, since you did get in there in Cauda and some other places, what you saw there. Can you give me a little glimpse of what you saw?
Well, yeah. In fact, when we helicoptered in terms of Cauda and got to a location that's obviously, you know, as you know, has not had the United Nations access for over 8 years, and I was really surprised in three ways. One was the spirit of the people on the ground was remarkable. You could sense that they're excited. That they couldn't believe that this was happening. They could not believe that I was there from the United Nations and our team. And so you could see this excitement that maybe this is the beginning of a new day.
That was WFP Executive Director David Beasley. He was speaking to my colleague Carol Van Dam today from Rome, where he just landed after arriving from Cauda in Sudan's Nuba Mountains. Leaders of other political parties, or OPP, a coalition of parties allied to the Kiir administration, say they support the formation of a unity government by November 12th. The leaders say many South Sudanese are still suffering across the country, especially in UN-run protection of civilian sites, and that only forming a unity government will enable them to freely return home. Winnie Torino reports for VOA from Juba.
Teresa Siricio Iro, head of the Sudan African National Union, says the unity government should be formed next month so that peace and stability can be restored across the country.
It is the utmost concern of the people of South Sudan that peace prevails in their country and that with no further extension of the pre-transitional period, a new government must be formed on November 12, 2019. We strongly uphold the position of our people and unreservedly support His Excellency the President of the Republic, President Salva Kiir Mayardit, for his firm stance to form the revitalized transitional government of national unity, the ARTIGON, on time, as is scheduled.
Onyote Adigo, leader of the Democratic Change Party and National Minister for Agriculture and Food Security, says many South Sudanese living in refugee camps, protection of civilian sites and rural villages are suffering because they fear an unknown gunman will still attack them. Adigo says if SPLM-IO leader Riek Machar returns to Juba, most internally displaced people who are Machar's supporters will return to their hometowns.
Last time, when he came on the 31st of October 2018, you know, most of they all came out from POC when they heard that Riek is coming to Juba. So we are saying that if the government of national unity is formed today, anybody who is in the refugees camp will come out. Anybody in the POC will come out. And all of us will be working together to see that what is not clear in the agreement or the implementation, which is having a zigzag, we may make it go straight.
Adigo says during a joint meeting with UN Security Council members in Juba last weekend, Onye Machar and National Democratic Movement leader Lama Kol urged leaders to extend the pre-transitional period. He says most of the signatories to the peace deal agreed to form the unity government on time.
We'll be appealing to the president that there is a need for the formation of the government, a revitalized government of national unity. Not only that, but we'll be saying also that Riek should be appointed as the first vice president and let him refuse to come because it is in the agreement. So he should come. If he will not come, then his people will know that the only person who is obstacle to peace is Riek.
Siricio is urging the SPLM-IO to join the rest of the parties in forming the government on November 12.
We see that all the outstanding issues, if any, could be resolved within the 3 years of the revitalized transitional government of national unity.
Analysts in Juba have expressed mixed views on forming a unity government on time, while some see the government should be formed in November because it will build trust among the parties and citizens. Others say forming a unity government before security arrangements are fully implemented will be an illegitimate government, especially if it is formed without all the signatories to the agreement. For VOA News, I am Winnie Sirino, in Juba.
A South Sudanese former lawmaker who fled from Juba 2 years ago is calling on South Sudanese to unite in addressing the stalemate over the formation of the unity government by November 12th. Walla Tuck says the rebels of the SPLM-IO loyal to Riek Machar made the right decision to stay away if the unity government is formed next month, adding the parties should stick to the provisions of last year's peace deal.
It is important that these key protocols in the peace agreement be implemented first before the formation of national unity. And again, even if you say 3 days, 4 days, 1 month, 2 months will not be enough, three maybe, because you cannot train forces in a few days and expect them to know the tenets of the military of professionalism that is expected of them.
Let's look at this situation from the legal perspective. You have the National Assembly in South Sudan, the Transitional National Assembly. Lawmakers are there, and they have been very silent on these issues. You have been once a lawmaker. Can you tell us what is happening at the Assembly? Are lawmakers really doing what they are supposed to do in South Sudan?
The lawmakers of our time in 2010 backward is much more freer than the lawmaker of today. The country's grip of fear. And look, here's the situation in South Sudan today. For example, a citizen, ordinary citizen, for example, before I come in but to the lawmaker, cannot express disappointment and live freely as a citizen of that country. They cannot go to the street. If they go, they'll find a security element. They're picking them up, arresting them, or even killing individuals and write them off as suicides. You cannot go to court of law. For example, you take a case, take for example the case of Tennis States that was taken, or injunction that was applied for by the opposition leader, Lamma Kwal, 2 years ago, or almost 3 years from now or more. But till now, it has never been heard because the judicial system is designed in a way that it sits on the cases except those which the executive directs to be heard. A lawmaker is not a free person, as say, because they are threatened by this national security law purportedly they passed themselves. Not even on the phrasing. And it can be picked up, a lawmaker can be picked up any time and arrested by the national security. So the country is gripped by fear.
But you were made the deputy head of the information commission, right to information,
yes.
And you resign. You're supposed to work towards ensuring that people have their rights to speak, but you decided to quit. Why did you do that?
There was no political will to allow access to information, to give freedom to the press. And I was expected by the appointing authority to be the tool that they used to restrict the freedom of expression, to deny the media access. I wasn't for that, and I don't share in that. Therefore, I resigned because I cannot make any difference in sitting there and keep implementing what the executive wants and not what the law requires of me. And that's why I resigned.
The institutions that were formed out of the Media Act were supposed to help journalists access information, help people speak freely. You are telling me that these institutions are speaking the language of the executive. Can you explain that?
One good example is the current media authority that arrests and closes media houses or directs or recommend the closure of the media houses, like what the case of the Arabic newspaper that was closed the recent, based on the fact that it has published the event that were taking place in the Sudan, not in South Sudan, in Khartoum.
That's Wol Attaq, a South Sudanese former lawmaker who fled from Juba 2 years ago after he was arrested by the National Security in 2017 for speaking his mind about the conflict in South Sudan. He was speaking with my colleague John Tanza from Wellington, New Zealand, earlier today. Tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Officials in Yei River State accused the SPLM-IO of recruiting child soldiers. Find out more when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
if you are feeling anxious, what can you do to calm down?
Do what I like to do best, read the Bible, watch movies that would educate me, and then read books as well.
You are in such kind of situation, you have to calm down. Don't take any action. Just relax, sit down. It can even take you to a situation where you can lay down your ribs to have a relaxation so that at least your memories and your positive thinking will come back to you.
I usually like to listen to music when I'm anxious. I listen to music that will make me feel free.
I encourage myself. Sometimes I put music on. I play, dance alone in my room. And that gives me the excitement to move on, because every situation is not permanent. It will change the next day.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Local leaders in Yei River State are accusing SPLA-IO rebels of recruiting children for military training at the Payum cantonment site. Local officials are calling on the body monitoring South Sudan's ceasefire to investigate and demobilize all child soldiers. But the SPLA-IO denies it is recruiting children. Daniel Friday Martin has this report for VOA from Yei.
The Joint Defense Board, a group of military commanders from both the government and the armed opposition, oversees implementation of security arrangements in the pre-transitional period. The board approved Panyume area as a cantonment site and Morta as a training site for the SPLA-IO and other opposition forces in Yei River State, according to the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, or JMEC. Moki Batali, a former security advisor in the Yei River State, accuses the SPLA-IO of violating provisions of the peace agreement by mobilizing women and children for training at the site. Batali says the only people at the cantonment site should be people with a gun.
The children and the women, these are innocent people. They are not going to be registered to be part of that force. Why are they taken there? We cannot at this particular time deceive ourselves. Go and register and say this is the number of the forces, yet these are not really the fighting forces.
A 48-year-old resident of Wundukuri village, who prefers to bed and fight only on Sunday for safety reasons, says her teenage son has been recruited by the SPLA-IO. Speaking in her native Kakwa, Sunday is asking aid agencies to intervene and rescue children allegedly recruited by the armed group.
I am asking you, the leaders in the SPLA-IO, I have my 16-year-old son in the military to be released home so that he goes back to school to help in the development of this country in the future. I am equally requesting NGOs like UNICEF to help us and bring our children back home.
Sunday is also appealing to the government and aid agencies to design rehabilitation programs so that children and other demobilized fighters can return to school. Mekaya Dada is a lawmaker representing Panyume constituency in the Yei River State Transitional Legislative Assembly. Speaking in Arabic, Dada says he worries that rebel forces in Panyume are planning to take control of people's land.
Al-Asakir humun jain li tadrib fil Monte Kadak.
The soldiers are there for a training, but why is it that they are going to the cantonment side with children and women? They should not think that they are going to stay in the cantonment site permanently, but they are there for a specific period of time.
Batali and Dader are urging the ceasefire and transitional security arrangements monitoring and verification mechanism, or CITISAM, the body monitoring implementation of South Sudan's permanent ceasefire, to investigate the matter. CITISAM officials in Yei River State declined to comment, saying they are not authorized to speak to the media. Pork Both, the SPLA-IO Director for Information, denies this group is mobilizing women or children for military training.
I would like to categorically refute the allegation that the SPLA-IO had been recruiting children or women. The SPLA-IO has not been conducting church activities because it contradicts with the agreement and the human rights laws that prohibit the recruitment of children.
Both insist the SPLA-IO is committed to implementing the provisions of the Revitalized Peace Agreement so that peace and stability can be restored in South Sudan. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Yeh.
A row is brewing between the government-sponsored National Youth Union and a coalition of some 10 national youth groups over the election of new office bearers ahead of the second National Youth Convention. Delegates from several youth groups are accusing South Sudan's youth union of unilaterally introducing new criteria to prevent other young people from participating in upcoming elections. Onen Walter Solomon has more for VOA from Juba.
The South Sudan National Youth Union says delegates who elect youth leaders during the second National Youth Convention scheduled to take place next month should be people who represent the constituencies of the 32 states plus the disputed Abyei region. Stanislas Luwara is secretary of the election committee and a member of the steering committee organizing the convention.
For now, we have 32 states plus Abyei administrative areas. Anybody out of that is not allowed to vote. But we included the participation of other youth groups like the youth association and organization to be part of the process, but they will not be voting because they don't represent any constituencies.
The Coalition of National Youth Organizations says youth activists should be allowed to take part in the elections because they represent youth interests and point out they were allowed to participate in electing youth leaders during the first convention held in 2015. The activists also say the National Youth Union did not consult them when it drafted the new election guidelines. Kanbil Nono from the South Sudan Civil Society Alliance says current leaders of the National Youth Union have politicized the convention and warned that unless the new election guidelines are reversed, many youth groups will withdraw from the National Youth Convention.
It has not been allowed to be run by young people. There are political interests, and this means youth will never be intimidated. We are already drafting the withdrawal letter to convention.
Kevin Abalo-John, founder and executive director for Resilient Organization, a youth rights group, says leaders of the National Youth Union must give a specific reason for introducing new election guidelines.
If the reason is genuine enough and it goes with the constitution of this nation, we will respect it as youth of this nation. But if the reason is not very clear, we will still claim for the right of the youth-led organizations as one of the youth-led organizations.
Youth, Culture and Sports Minister Nadia Rop-Dudi wrote to the Justice Ministry on October 21st asking officials to address the election criteria for the second National Youth Convention. Alex Latiu, a Jubek State delegate to the second National Youth Convention, says young people will boycott the convention unless the committee organizing it changes the election guidelines.
There was a letter sent by the minister to the Ministry of Justice requesting the Ministry of Justice to form an arbitration committee to rule over the disputed issues of criteria, age limit and education criteria.
Luala says Article 12 and 13 of the South Sudan National Youth Union Constitution mandates them to review all laws and regulations that govern youth activities, including elections in the Republic of South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Onan Walter Solomon in Juba.
It's time for our listener comments again this week, and we heard from a lot of you. We heard from Lillian in Juba, who writes, "Thanks to VOA for always updating us on what is happening in the country. I really feel so disappointed when I hear that the two warring parties of South Sudan have not agreed on security arrangements and the number of states. We, the people of South Sudan, are sick and tired of war. What we need is only peace." Johnson and Juba writes, the Security Council must consider the view of citizens of South Sudan. We do not need the same mess of 2016. No formation of unity government without security arrangements. The agreement must be followed as is. Yahaya from Bidibidi Refugee Settlement in Uganda writes, the process cannot work since we have many belligerents in the conflict. Every tribe is now running a militia of their own. We have to dig down to the roots of the problem, which is now quite simply tribalism. Gatiek Wachar in Cairo, Egypt writes, hi VOA, I see the position taken by Riek Machar not to be part of the R-Tigonu in November is a rightful stand that a leader takes. South Sudanese are tired of war. They need peace, but a genuine peace in which there is no fear again among citizens that a 2016 J1 incident may repeat itself. Amos from Rhino Refugee Camp in Uganda writes, I'm really looking forward to seeing a good outcome come November 12th because we're just willing to go back to our beautiful nation, South Sudan, and we pray for peace that will come from God so that we can enjoy our beautiful South Sudan. Mal Adal Mal in Boer Town writes, hello, VOA. It's very clear now to the citizens of this country that Kiir and Machar are breaching the revitalized peace agreement, which they signed because they have no political will. SPLMIO's refusal to be part of unity government come November 12th will jeopardize the whole process and definitely trigger the country back into chaos. Very unfortunate that South Sudan leaders have become liabilities to their own people. Please give peace a chance because neither you, the government, nor I can now win the war militarily. Warbun Rot in Juba writes, it wasn't a surprise to me to hear from Riek Machar that there will be no government on November 12th. As South Sudanese, I would like to tell Dr. Riek Machar and President Salva Kiir that we need government on the 12th of November. Maluat Paula Chuk from High Amarat Juba writes, the government of South Sudan is the one to be blamed over the delays of the formation of R-Tigonu because the government didn't stand up to its commitment by paying $100 million that it pledged to pay in May. And thanks for all your comments this week. Please do keep them coming. We love hearing from you. And that's our show for this Friday. We leave you with the Bari song by Freedom Boys.
Kone da nangura, mujuko jana ku ehi. Kone.
listening to Freedom Boys with Bare Song. I'm Ayen Deng Bior in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Ogonyu toron baba bondi kweni Ijambu jamesi morei tikini bago aniteko bubadikare Kilo jamesi nguju kibango jambu Ogonyu toron baba bondi kweni.